It's good to be at New Heights Baptist Church today. It's a thrill to come back here every 2 years. We got to be with you many years ago when you started in a schoolhouse and then in a storefront and now here at this place. And it's great. Every time we come back, something's changing, something's different. And it's exciting to go to a church where there's a vision and people are growing and things are happening. Every church I go to and I get the privilege to speak in, I try to remind the people to do one thing: love your pastor. I'm glad the way he introduced me today, he said I was a pastor. I don't think of myself as a missionary first. I think of myself as a pastor, a preacher, a teacher. Those are the gifts God gave me. A missionary is what everybody's supposed to be. You're supposed to be on a mission for God, amen? But not everybody's supposed to be a pastor or a preacher or maybe a leader in the church per se. As a pastor, I understand the pressures of leading a Christian group. And I understand that our enemy understands that if you can smite the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. And I like to remind folks, love your pastor. You have a wonderful, great pastor. He loves you. He does an excellent job with his church. And I think oftentimes the people who are trying to encourage everyone else oftentimes need the encouragement from others more than anyone else. And I'm not, Brother Reyes didn't tell me to say all this, but I know what it's like to be a pastor. And make sure you love your pastor, amen? All right, we are missionaries to Ghana, and I'm not going to talk a lot about that this morning. Tonight, if you'll come back, we'll talk about the ministry more. And I think we might show you a short video. But let me just simply say Ghana is in West Africa. If you look on that map back there, it's the west. We see that dot on Africa. We're just a little bit to the east of that. We're right above the equator, right on the ocean. There's about 25 million people live in Africa. 1.5 million live in the city that we serve in. We've had the privilege to establish a church there. And then we've been able to establish a yearly conference where we help train pastors and Christian workers. We have a Bible college. We graduated 69 from our Bible college. We have about 30 of those or so that are serving in full-time Christian service. We've been able to influence the planting of over 38 churches and influenced many other churches through our teaching and training in our college. We also have a Christian school of 150 students, and pray for that because right now I oversee that and I need somebody to come and take that responsibility. The Lord's doing wonderful things there. We've been able to establish churches in both Ghana and Liberia. We're training a man in our college right now to go to the country of Sierra Leone, and we're very excited about what God's doing. And we'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. And I'm not going to ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 2 and put your finger there or your ribbon in your Bible or a piece of paper. We're going to come back to that in a few moments. And I'm going to ask my helper to come up, brother, come on up. And I'm going to pray and we'll get into the message. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for these people, this time, this place. Thank you that you loved us and that you died on the cross for us. Thank you that we can have fellowship one with another through Christ. God, I pray that you bless the preaching of your word this morning and use me, your servant, to help your people this morning, please. Amen. Now, I have a question I'm going to ask him. And as I asked him this question, I want you to answer this question in your own mind. And I want you to keep that question in your mind for later in the service when we come back to that. But I'm going to ask him the same question someone asked me many years ago. And that question is this. By the way, what's your name?
Alexander.
Okay, that's your last name. Man, come on. You're just Frank, man. You're just helping me with the illustration. Man. His name is Frank. Okay, I just met him on the street. And Frank, let me ask you this. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Are you thinking with me? What's your answer right now? Frank, what's your answer?
Yeah.
Yes, he's sure that he would go to heaven. Are you sure you'd go to heaven? Don't answer out loud, but I want you to think about it. Now, Frank, what makes you so sure you go to heaven?
I go to church. I believe in God. You know, I pray. I'm okay, a good person.
So you go to church. You believe in God. You pray. You're a good person. Okay. Are you thinking something like that? Are you here today and you're thinking, well, if someone asked me that question, I'd probably say something similar to that. I'm a good person. I pray. I go to church. Did I miss something? Yeah, it's close enough, right? So here's what you're telling me, Frank. You're telling me that if you live a good enough life, that if God approves of how you're living, that you'll get to heaven?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I want you to look with me in Philippians chapter 2, and you stay right there, Mr. Alexander. And we're going to come back to that. And Philippians chapter 2, I want you to look in verse number 8. It says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the" what? Cross. The cross. I want to read another verse to you from Hebrews. It says this, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." The book of Ephesians says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Those verses are teaching that God has offered reconciliation to you back to God through the cross. Amen? In Colossians, the Bible says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross." In the book of John, it says this, Jesus speaking. He says, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. That verse is talking about Jesus referring to the cross. If I be lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. Mr. Frank, if what you say is true, if the fact that you pray and that you're a pretty good person, that you go to church, if that is true and if that is what is going to get you to heaven, then I have a question for you. And if you agree with him this morning, I have a question for you. What is the purpose of the cross? Why do we have a cross on the front of this pulpit? Why do we have a cross on that flag? Why do we have a cross above the baptistry? If his goodness will get him to heaven, what is the purpose of the cross if I can get to heaven by being a good person? There would be no purpose for the cross. You see, Jesus died on that cross, Frank, because you were not a good person. He died on that cross because you had sinned and broken the commandments of God. And your sin had separated you from God. And he died in your place on the cross, and he shed his blood that you might have redemption. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." That verse is telling us that we should not reject the grace that God has offered us through the cross. Because if salvation came by our goodness, then why did he die? It would be for nothing. Frank, if what you say is true, then Jesus died for no reason on that cross. If what you said is true, we have no reason to have blood wood symbolizing our cross, because there would have been no need to have blood shed on the cross. Am I making sense? If I'm correct, I think y'all used a certain color wood here representing the blood that was shed on that cross. Am I right? Hey, there's no purpose for that, Frank, if your good works will get you to heaven. Am I making sense to you this morning? What was the cross? The cross served, or I should say this before I tell you what the cross is, I want to make this point. The cross has served as a symbol for Christianity for 2 millennia. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the cross was 2 pieces of wood on which Christ was crucified. The cross was a cursed way to die, which Christ readily received for your sins and mine. The cross was a place of sacrifice. The cross was a place of separation. God the Father from God the Son. The cross was a place where the Lord of glory, the Creator of man, was mocked and ridiculed for our sins. The cross was a place of suffering. But the cross was more than that, Frank. The cross was a place of redemption, a place of forgiveness, a place where grace and mercy was extended to sinful man, a place where God died for our sins. And I say to you this morning, Frank Alexander, you need to cast aside your unholy thinking. And y'all don't worry. I told him what to say. Amen. So some of y'all are thinking, man, our youth pastor ain't saved. Amen. But Frank Alexander, representing the millions of people out there who don't understand the gospel, cast aside your unholy thinking that your righteousness and that your goodness will save you, and cling to the grace and the mercy that was demonstrated by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I have a second person that's going to help me this morning if you'll come up. And I want to ask him the same question I asked to Frank. What's your name? Steve. Steve, if you die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? He's positive. Now, Steve, what makes you think you'll go to heaven? So, Steve, what you're telling me is this. You're telling me that you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and that He's the only way to heaven, and that you don't have to be a good person to go to heaven? Wow. You're right, Stephen. You understand the message. You got the truth. And I'm glad for you. But I got a message for you today as well. Stephen, for you today, I say to you that the cross was more than just a place where God died for your sins. The symbolism of the cross for our church today is more than just a reminder of what happened on that cross. The cross is more. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, you don't need to turn there, but listen to me. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." You see, the cross is more than just a place where God died for your sins. The cross is a message to be preached. The cross is a badge of humiliation that we are to wear for our Savior Jesus Christ. The cross is a reminder that we are to be a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ. The song my children sang, the Father said to the Son, "Will you leave your heavenly throne? Will you leave your kingdom? Will you lay down your life?" And then He's saying to you and I today, hey, will you make the sacrifice? Will you lay down your life? That cross symbolizes more than just redemption from hell. That symbolizes the message that God has given us to preach. And that message is the message of the cross and what happened on that cross. He's called us to preach that cross. Look, who else is it talking about? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18. He went back to heaven. Amen? He left us to preach that message. In the book of Philippians, in chapter number 1, Paul was speaking to the Philippian Christians. They were going through persecution similar to Paul that he had gone through. They were having a difficult time. And Paul said, "I want to remind y'all of something." He reminded them that they were not simply to believe on Jesus, but to suffer for His sake. God has not called us simply to believe on the cross, but He's called us to lift up that cross, to bear that cross, and to bear the shame of that cross. Are you with me? In Romans chapter 10, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they hear, or how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How are people to hear about the cross without a preacher? How is Frank to hear about the cross and what it means? How is Frank to get his thinking straight if you don't preach the message to him? If all you do is rejoice in the message that you have received, that he dies and goes to hell. I want to ask y'all this question. How many of you, I want you to raise your hand on this, how many of you believe this morning that this man needs to hear the truth? Let me see your hand. He does, doesn't he? He thinks his good works are going to get him heaven. He needs the truth. Let me ask y'all something. How many of y'all believe that this man is qualified to tell him the truth? I do. I mean, he pretty clearly told us how he got saved and what he was trusting, right? He's qualified to give him the truth. Let me ask you another question. How many of you believe that this man is obligated to give him the truth? How many of you believe that he should give him the truth? Here's my next question. What about the person you work with? What about your family? What about your neighbor? Who's going to give them the truth? You know, it's interesting how we can sit here and we can rationalize out that this man needs the truth, and we can put two and two together and understand that he's qualified and that he's obligated and that he should give him the truth. But what about the person, the people that you rub elbows with every day, that you live next to, that you know, and they too need to hear the truth? And you're standing in the same shoes he's standing in. You've heard the truth, you know it, you understand it, but you're not preaching the cross. You're not bearing the shame. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I know enough about Christians to know that most of you in here need to hear this message. Amen? I know enough about myself to know I need to hear this message. You're qualified, aren't you? You're qualified to give the gospel, aren't you? You're qualified to preach the cross, aren't you? And you're obligated, but the problem is we're often not. I got saved in 1991. In the year 1992, began to read my Bible. God began to change my life. I got a burden to tell people what I had learned. I didn't go to a soul-winning church, per se. We basically maybe handed out tracts and maybe preach to people to come down the aisle, but we really had no soul winning time. There was no one actively going out soul winning. The pastor would visit people and hand out tracts. But there's something inside of me saying, you got to tell people what you know. You got to tell people about what's going on inside of you. I got a little handout. It was a small workbook, if you will, written by a Dr. Jerry Falwell. On soul winning. I began to read it and study it. I sent off in the mail for a little red book that had memory verses in it, and I memorized the Romans Road memory verses. And I got prepared to go give people the gospel. The first person I ever saw receive the gospel was a young lady who served or who was on the same team I was on at Virginia Tech, the college I went to. We were on a meat judging team. We traveled around the country and we judged meat. And I know you're thinking, what? You did what? Yeah, I was strange, kind of a hit, kind of a redneck. You know what I'm saying? And but that girl, she came to church with me and she responded to invitation. Someone took her in the back. She got saved. As far as I know, she got saved. She made a profession of faith. Why? Because somebody, a classmate, got a burden and told her about Jesus or invited her to church. Are you listening to me? By the end of 1993, I had a notebook, piece of notebook paper. Like I wasn't called to preach. I wasn't in the ministry. I had a piece of notebook paper with over 50 names on it, the people I had witnessed to that had made a profession in Jesus Christ. In 1994, I left. Actually, in 1993, I started a bus route. 1994, I felt called to God. I went to Bible college, and I began to train other people to win folks to Christ. And ended up being on Bible faculty at a college and now a missionary in Ghana. But my mission for God did not start
with a call to Ghana. It started with a call from within to preach the cross. All of us are qualified, if we're saved, to preach that message. We're obligated to preach that message, and we should preach that message. Pastor Reyes, I say this everywhere I go when I preach this message. I say missions doesn't begin with an offering and an offering plate. It begins in your heart when you get on fire to preach the cross. That's where missions begins. Let's not simply give to the missionary. Let's get on a mission for God. Look, I thank you for your giving. Don't stop giving. We're the benefactors of it. Amen, Brother Steve? And if you're not going to preach the cross, well, keep giving to me. Amen? But when we stand before God, we're not going to get by with just putting some money in an offering plate. God's going to want to know about your neighbor, about your family member, about your person you work with. Am I making sense this morning? I'll just tell you a couple quick stories and I'll be done. A few weeks ago, I was preaching at a Christian school for bus kids. And the message I preached, some kids came up afterwards for me to sign their Bible. And a girl looked at me and she said, "Maria Gonzalez is my mother." I said, "Wow. Who was Maria Gonzalez?" She was a lady that I met about 16, 18 years ago. Signed her up from a bus route. She started coming to church. She was living by herself, living with her brother. She had two children in Mexico, and the girl that was talking to me had not even been born. Maria was faithfully came on my bus route. Her two kids finally came to America. They came on a bus route. They graduated from Christian school. Now this third child that was born was in a Christian school, about 15 years old, and reminded me of who I was, the man who led her mother to Christ. Before I left to go to Africa, that lady gave me a wallet as a gift. I was still carrying that wallet when her daughter told me who she was. The next day I went to a Christian school. A girl walked up to me before the service. She said, "Do I look familiar to you?" I said, "No." She pulled out a picture. She showed it to me. In the picture was herself, me, my wife, and my oldest daughter, Kimberly. She was just about one and a half years old. And I was bringing her to church on my bus route. Now her whole family, her grandma, her grandpa, her uncles, her aunts, they all live there where the church is. Some of them have graduated from Howells Anderson, many of them from the Christian school. I'm telling you something, folks. You won't regret preaching the cross. You won't regret preaching the cross. Yes, it's a badge of humiliation. Yes, you're going to be embarrassed, so to speak. But wasn't He humiliated for us? Can't we take a little shame for our Savior? Can't we knock on a door? You know, I'll admit my sin. I serve in a very fertile place to preach the gospel. Just about everybody in Ghana will listen to you from the Bible. And I have this attitude about coming back to America, people don't want to listen, they're just going to slam the door in your face. But I'm so glad that when I went soul winning yesterday, and the first door I knocked on, the lady in the next apartment heard me knocking on that door. She opened the door, and I could not have met a kinder, gentler person that wanted to listen to the gospel than that lady, Claudia. And she had people visiting, her family visiting for the weekend out of town. And she sat there and listened to me give her the gospel. And I thought, "Lord, forgive my cold heart to think that people don't want to listen." You know what? There's a lot of people who won't listen. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. There are people all over Albuquerque, just like you, who want to be saved. Who's going to tell them? Well, it's not the missionary. It's not the missionary over here. We're going to be gone in a couple of weeks. Who's going to tell them? You expect the pastor to do it? That job falls to you. Amen? These people need to hear the cross. The cross is more than just a place cross died. That Jesus died. The cross is a place, or it is a reminder of the message that we're to preach. One reason we fail to become soldiers is we don't want the embarrassment of the cross. We sing a song. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. How many of you know it? The next line says, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Is it a song we simply sing, or is it a message we obey? So many of the hymns we sing are nothing more than a nice rhythm that we learned when we were children that we enjoy singing on Sunday. But we ought to cling to that cross, and we ought to bear its reproach. And we ought to gladly bear the shame that comes with preaching its message. A great preacher, Brother Charles Spurgeon, pastored the great London Tabernacle in London, England, had a congregation of over 5,000 people. He said this, there are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers on earth. There are no crown wearers in heaven who are not cross bearers on earth. And I understand that we're going to cast our crown at His feet, but you won't cast any crowns if you're not bearing the cross here. Hey, listen to me today. What do you need to adjust? Do you need to start showing up for the church-wide soul winning? Do you need to pick a time to go soul winning? Do you need to get with someone and say, man, I don't know how to do it. Will you train me? Do you need to get some Bible verses and memorize them? What do you need to do? You need to get your heart right concerning this message today. Let me remind you of what Jesus said. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him what? Take up his cross and what? Deny himself. Are you with me? Let's do that. Let's stop just singing about the cross, putting up the symbol of the cross. Let's bear the shame of the cross as we preach the message of the cross. And let me remind some of you that are going through a tough time, and God allows us to go through trials. Let me just simply remind you, Jesus said we're going to have to bear some crosses. Suffering's going to come our way. Be glad that you're counted worthy to suffer for His name. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You that we have the Bible, that we can read in our own language and understand God's message to man. Thank You for these people who believe that church is important, that they come to church on a Sunday morning. Thank You for Pastor Reyes and his leadership, his vision, and his burden for Albuquerque and for the world. Thank You that they give to missions like myself and like Brother Steve Reyes and his family. God, thank You for giving this church this beautiful building and all of its ministries. But God, I pray that when we leave here this morning that we'd have a zeal in our heart, that we'd have a commitment in our heart to bear the cross, to bear the shame and reproach, to lift up that cross, to go and preach the cross of Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. I'm going to ask you this question. Are you preaching the cross like you should? Did God speak to your heart today in any way that you need to change some things, you need to get some things straight concerning this message of preaching the cross? Who would be willing to lift up their hand and say, preacher, that's me. I need to get some things straight. I need to change some things in my life. Let me see your hand if that's you this morning. See those hands? See that one, that one, that one. See those? Thank you. God bless you. Put your hands down. The beginning of the message, I asked Mr. Alexander here what would get him to heaven. He said his good works. The fact that he goes to church. If you agreed with him, you need to get saved today. You need to come forward during the invitation. Let one of us take a Bible and help you to understand what salvation is. I encourage you to do that today.